Irregardless is now in the dictionary. Frankly, irregardless. I mean, ridiculous. Irridiculous.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now, please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay. You can just do it. It's just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Sorry, I'm just not.
Internet Airwaves.
Okay, then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. Let's try to do this video thing one more time. I'm working on a bunch of different things, and none of it seems to be working. So let's move me over here. Welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, thank you for listening. This is how we broadcast. We broadcast live. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're listening one of two ways, through Facebook, because that's how we're broadcasting. And we're working on some other, I don't know who these we people are, but I am working on other ways to broadcast live, YouTube and Instagram and Twitter, and I'm investigating all those. But if you cannot listen to the live show, definitely listen to the slightly edited for time podcast version of the show available through iHeartRadio, Spotify. As a matter of fact, go through our new podcast server, which is Podbean. Type in Radio Irregardless, and then you can choose whatever one you want because it's all listed in the, and I should put that in the chat anyway, but that's fine. So as I always love to start the show with the happening now monologue.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
That's then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
So I'm trying a new setup. I've gone from the standing desk for the single setup with the iPad and all that to going with my iMac, my laptop, my mixer, my ring light, my second light, my filler, as it were. And I'm trying to do all this, and I'm working on two mice going back and forth, and I'm chopped off because I'm using my green screen. And actually, you know something? I'm going to expand the green screen. Let's try this. There we go. So I got a little bit more room on that side. But I'm working on the OBS platform, and only with Facebook do I broadcast video. And I'm just kind of playing with it. This is not a video podcast. It was never meant to be a video podcast. When we first started, I started on a website called Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R. And then what happened was they never secured their site. So the only way to listen would be to sign on through Facebook or through another email. And then you could listen live. It would be notified. Having a bad goddamn day. You would be notified, you dumbass. You would be notified if I was going live through Mixlr. And the problem was, because it wasn't a secure site, a lot of people weren't jumping on. And that's kind of an issue. And I didn't want that to happen. So blah, blah, blah. So that's why I go through Facebook, because, you know, at least you're on Facebook and you can trust it and blah, blah, blah. So let me tell you what's actually been going on. This is not, it wasn't public knowledge. It was never public knowledge, only for a few people. But I finally got the coof. I caught COVID-19. And obviously, I'm fine. I did really well. Now, I have been vaccinated. I did not get the booster. But I will tell you that my particular symptoms, I didn't even know I had it for 2 or 3 days because I was like, I got a cold. I got a little sore throat. But as soon as I found out, quarantined, stopped working, didn't work the trolleys, didn't work a corporate gig. I had to shut everything down. And now I'm much better. And it's kind of a weird thing because you still kind of test positive, even though you're not positive. You're not positive after about five. Well, I'm certainly not positive, but you're not positive after a few days. Like after 5 days, you're not positive anymore. And I haven't tested in a couple days, since my symptoms stop, and according to my doctor, once the symptoms stop, you have 5 days, wear a mask, then you can go out and blah, blah, blah. So I started working Monday because my symptoms stopped roughly Thursday afternoon. So I had it about a week, and it was tough. I mean, it's still kind of tough. I'm a little tired now, but still, when I'm on the trolley, I wear a mask. I did a comedy show, and I wore a mask, and I had no contact with people. Even though I'm not contagious, I'm still trying to be very aware that, you know, you got to be, you know, it's still a thing. And it's unfortunate because I actually had to cancel work, and it wasn't like it was 2 years ago, where all of a sudden I've lost thousands and thousands of dollars, and it was like you worried about who's going to get it, if it's a death sentence, and it's so severe. Not to say that people still aren't being hospitalized, and it's still not a thing. It is a thing, and it's always going to be a thing. And like I said years ago, well, a year ago, everybody's going to get it at some point. At some point, somebody's going to get it. You're going to get it. I have family members who have had it. Friends have had it. Everybody seems to roll with it pretty well. Knock on wood, everybody seems to be doing well. So if you or somebody you know gets it, just know that if you're vaccinated, hopefully the symptoms will be reduced and all this other stuff and blah, blah, blah. So, but as a result of that, I have been working. I actually have a very limited work. I'm working this weekend, which I didn't even put in the chat, and I should do that. But I did want to talk about something. This actually made the news. Dave Chappelle was performing at the Hollywood Bowl doing a Netflix is a joke special. Chris Rock was there. Jamie Foxx, a couple other comics were there. And apparently, this guy ran on stage. Some people say he had a weapon. Some people said he had a gun and a knife. Other reports say he didn't have any weapons. But in any case, he ran on stage and tackled Dave Chappelle. What the fuck? You know what I mean? What the Great Gatsby is going on with this? It's sad. It's sad, as my brother would say, sad. And the funny thing is, Chris Rock came up on stage afterwards, and after he did a set, and he goes, was that Will Smith? Because it's only comics that can joke like that. But it's, I'm not worried about it. I'll just start coughing. Whether I got the coof or not, I'm going to start coughing. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm just going to say I got to conceal a carry. That's all. That's all I'm going to do. And speaking of comedians, this is actually on a serious note. A Boston comedy legend, and I hate to do this on every show, but it seems like because I'm getting older and the comics I know are getting older, and there's a lot of really good comics in the business. There was a comedian who actually had a bunch of clubs in Boston. I started in one of his clubs, Dick Doherty, or as he was affectionately known around Boston as Dirty Dick Doherty. He passed away on May 1st. And Dick was almost 80. He died May 1st. His wife, Kathy, she's been getting nothing but Facebook messages. So many comics in the Boston area just recalling their experiences with Dick Doherty, his clubs. He had a club down the Cape. He was in a band. And speaking, he was in a band. I didn't know this, but he wrote a song in 1966. Now, I met Dick Doherty in 1990 when I started stand-up. I started at the Comedy Loft in Woburn, which is where Dick is from. And it was in a commercial area, like an industrial park. And it was like a really cool club. He ran a bunch of clubs. At one point, I think he had 8 clubs over the Boston area. He had a Coo-A-Coo in Cambridge. He had a Coo-A-Coo in Worcester. Both killer rooms. When I take killer rooms, I'm talking about early 90s stuff. And they were 300-seat venue. And it was just on a Friday and Saturday night. I'm brand new. I'm 6 months, 1 year in a comedy, doing 10-minute sets and getting off stage thinking I was a goddamn rock star. It was just, his clubs were amazing. He retired from the business, and him and his wife decided to just kind of cash in some of their assets, their house. They bought an RV and they were traveling. He was a cancer survivor. And he decided to just put it on the road. And he was, my experience with him, I never had a bad experience with him whatsoever. There was a lot of times where I got banned at one point But it wasn't like I was banned. I just didn't get to work for him for like a year. And there's always, every comic is talking about, oh, I got banned by Dick Doherty. That's how you know you're a comic in Boston, if you got banned by Dick Doherty. That was like a badge of honor. But he passed away, and nothing but outpours of love and things like that. But I did want to play this. I did not know. He wrote this song called A Man Needs Love from 1966. I don't know if I'll play that. It's only
Chasing
about
Rainbows.
Let me play this real quick.
Through the fields.
It's interesting. I love it. It's good.
Covered wagons, broken wheels, climbing mountains that have no top, chasing streetcars they never stop. I'm a man, and a man needs a love. I need your loving, yes I do. If I can't have it, I'll be blue. I need your love every day. Please don't take it away. Rockets racing to the moon, majestic mansions and covered moons, tunnels deep into mines to spare. Me standing here and you over there. I'm a man, and a man needs love. Majestic mansions with empty rooms, tunnels deep into mine's despair. Me standing here and you over there. I'm a man, and a man needs a love, and a man needs a love.
It is such a fun little song, and I never knew about this. I'm ashamed to say I knew Dick Doherty for over 30 years, and I did not know he did this song. That is Dick Doherty, A Man Needs Love, 1966. So let me do this because I want to get to my guest real quick. I'm going to talk about this day in history.
Wait till I tell you what happened today.
Would you please explain some of what happened today to me, please? Huh? Huh? Huh?
And now, Radio Irregardless's This Day in History.
So I'm going to go pretty fast. Now, of course, today is May the 4th, which is, you know, Star Wars Day, I guess. That's, what are you going to do about that? So let's see. This keeps fading in and out. I don't even know why. Maybe it's because I'm talking, or I don't know. But let's talk about this day in history. On this day in 1382, the Battle of, see if I pronounce this right, is it Bever-Hauptsved? The Battle of Bever-Hauptsved. The population beats a drunken army. I don't even know where that was, but it's funny when the population beats up a drunken army. On this day in 1780, the second oldest learned society in the United States, the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, was formed in Boston. On this day in 1809, Mary Keyes is the first woman issued a U.S. patent. You know what it's for? Straw weaving. You're welcome. Okay, whatever. And this day in 1847, the American Medical Association was organized in Philadelphia. On this day in 1865, the first U.S. train robbery was actually committed. It was in North Bend, Ohio. Congratulations. 1891, Carnegie Music Hall opens in New York, and Tchaikovsky was a guest conductor. In 1891, can you even wrap your goddamn head around that? Wow. 1893, the panic of 1893, the great crash on the New York Stock Exchange. Did you know about that? And like 30 years later was the 30 years later was the great crash, Black Thursday, I think it was. 1900, the Billboard, like Billboard, began weekly publishing. So the Billboard's top 100s, the Billboard, that's 1900. On this date, 1904, Cy Young of Boston pitches a perfect game against Philadelphia, 3-0. 1922, the construction begins on the Yankee Stadium. 1944, Gandhi was released from prison on this day. 1961, Alan Shepard becomes the first American in space. Sure he was. If you believe in the moon landing, whatever. 1990, Paul Hogan and Linda Kolas. I was never able to pronounce her name right. It's Kozlowski, wed in Byron Bay, Eastern Australia. For those of you who don't know who Paul Hogan is, that's Crocodile Dundee. He married Linda Kozlowski, who was in the Crocodile Dundee movies. On this day in 1995, the last basketball game was played in the Boston Gardens, and the Magic beat the Celtics on the last thing. Can you imagine that? Man. On this day, 1997, Married with Children's final episode was on Fox. In 1998, a federal court rules President Clinton does not have executive privilege in the Lewinsky case, so he must testify. In 2000, there was a conjunction of the sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and the moon on this day. And in 2013, the world's first plastic gun was produced by a 3D printer by a defense distributor and fires successfully in Austin, Texas. Security officials are afraid that plastic weapons will not be detected by airport screenings. That was 2013. I think we're doing all right. Maybe. And today's famous birthdays, Audrey Hepburn was 63 years old when she died. She died in this day. Today was her birthday. She was born in 1929 and she died in 1993. Lance Bass from NSYNC. Is it NSYNC? He's 43. Will Arnett is 52. Jackie Jackson, which is one of the Jacksons, dancing. He's 71. And of course, Randy Travis is 63 years old. So happy birthday, everybody. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm running a little late. I'm going to call my guest. He's a fantastic, fantastic person. He's a good friend of mine. Frank Hauser will be joining me. And he is all things movie. You think I know some stuff about movies. This guy knows everything. And when we come back from break, we're going to get a chance to talk to him. So folks, stick around. You're listening to Radio Irregardless. I'll be right back.
Job he's ever had has been a paper route. He runs to mommy and daddy every time he has a boo-boo. On dates, he has the woman cut up his vegetables. He once spent 18 hours in a basement playing World of Warcraft just to get the Scarab Lord achievement. He is the most immature man in the world. I don't often go to bed without supper, but when I do, it's because I've been bad. Stay thirsty, my friend.
What up? This is EJ Edmonds, and you're listening to Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. If I was you, I wouldn't listen to this, but I mean, if you're already here and you're listening, go the fuck ahead. Why not?
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia, and if I plan this right, I should be able to get him. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, the aforementioned, very talented.
Too very skinny, good friend. Too fat. Too. Sorry, man. Sorry,
what are you
new
doing?
I'm new in town, so I was just doing a little Tinder action. I'm good.
What?
Hi.
Tinder.
Hi. Don't worry about that. That's sort of... Tinder. Did I say Grindr? I did. I meant
no,
Tinder. That's
what don't I meant. Go on Grindr.
That's no.
Don't go on Grindr.
Maybe I'll do the last half, you know, gay. Why not? Who knows?
Well, you know something? If there's options, take them.
Hi, Mark.
I should have got some water.
Good to see
you. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing well, thanks. Well, not
yes.
Well. I mean,
he's on Trinder. He's on Trinder.
Yeah.
He's on Tweetner.
Sweetener. That should be a dating app. I like that idea.
Sweetener? So, as I cough really hard into the microphone.
You're right there?
How are you? Yeah, I'm still getting over the coof.
The coof.
The coof.
The coof.
Yeah. The coof. So what it is if I talk too much, which is really good when you host a program like this.
It's just your body saying, listen, I'm sick of listening to you.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
It's also, I'm on the trolley talking all day, so that helps too. But you know what it is? I didn't get my water, and I usually get my water. So maybe in the break, when I'll run downstairs, or maybe my lovely wife will, because she's listening, and we're trying to get get all our friends to listen. We got a ton of people listening, and then what happened is I clicked the wrong thing, and it went blah, blah, blah.
And then I came on, and they're like, out.
They're like, out. I'm done. So let's start this off. So, folks, this is Frank Hauser. Now, you may not know Frank, but Frank is one of the most talented people that I know. And he was actually, let me see this. He was actually out in the San Diego. He was in the San Diego area for a little bit. He was doing some stuff out there. And now he's back visiting some friends. He's back in Virginia.
Family. Yeah,
you know something? Let me make it sound perfect because make it sound fantastic.
All right,
he was in the San Diego area for a while, and now he's back in he's in the East. He's actually down in Virginia visiting some family, and he's hanging out with them for a little bit. But he's been super busy. He used to live in the Boston area, and he was big into team building. That's how we kind of met, doing a lot of acting work. He was a film instructor. Oh, my lovely bride brought me some water. Look at that. There she goes. You saw her in the green screen. So let me do this. I got a coaster. That's weird. Do you see that? Whoa.
She civilized you.
Yes, no. That's my thing. She didn't civilize me.
Well, it's either her civilizing you or you're just really anal about coasters. I was trying to spin it nicely.
I don't like the word anal. It's speaking of Grindr. But if you I like order, and that's not orderly. And I would put it on my mouse pad, but I'm working on one mouse pad up here, one mouse pad down here. So
who uses mouse pads anymore?
I do. Anyway. I do.
All right.
Yeah, I do. Why? You got a problem with mouse pads?
No, I just don't think they're needed anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't had a mouse pad in 20 years.
Oh, well. See, here's the mouse. See if I can see this. Here's the mouse I'm working with. Where are we?
Okay.
I bought it. This is it's one of the old mice.
Yeah, it's got a tip.
Yeah, it's got the little, like the nipple.
The little nipple there, yeah.
I've got that one.
I understand so much more now.
Then I got this one. Then I've got this one. And again, it's got the little thing. But I always like the pad anyway. Of course, I've got two magic mice and blah, blah, blah. But I kind of like, I bought an old keyboard, old Mac keyboard. I've restored that. And I get this. But enough about me. About you. We're talking about you. You have been very busy. You, and I'll see if I can get this right. You actually designed a program, because I like movie trivia. I'm a big movie guy, but you have kind of perfected it. You've written a game, and it's called the Great Movie Challenge. So if you folks go to greatmoviechallenge.com, and for the podcast people, I'll spell it, great, greatmoviechallenge.com, and then you can check out the original movie game. And you can play it, you can order it, and you can, are you going to people's houses?
We'll go to people's houses, we'll go to an event, we'll do like corporate events, we'll do, we did something in a bar in Massachusetts, like a restaurant type of thing, which was good. That was cool, that was like week to week. We're developing like a subscription service for restaurants if they have their own people run it, and then we'll just provide content like week after week so that they can run the game on their own. So we're doing a bunch of stuff like that. So yeah, we could do, we could come and, I hate sort of comparing it to movie trivia because it's so much cooler than that. There's lots of visuals. There's lots of interaction with folks. It's more than just question answer type of thing. It's really, really fun. So
when I say movie trivia, that's kind of the generalized topic. But yes, yeah, there's more.
But it's, the it's visual so is about more.
Posters. Yeah. And folks, if you go to the website, you can check it out. It is. It's much more than just, hey, let me ask you a question. It's things from visuals. It'll show you. I remember the vehicles. There's a vehicle section where you show a vehicle and you have to guess the movies, maps.
Who lives in this house? You know, that kind of stuff.
Posters. It's, and it's a movie trailer. It's so many. Oh, I love First Frame. That's fun.
That's a fun one. Yeah, that's a fun one. That'll get you. And then it's always like it shows the frame, and then you know when you reveal what it is, they're just like, oh yeah. So my whole thing is to sort of ruin the way people watch movies so that they're just like intently watching. It's just like, oh, that's the mountain from Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Well, so. The thing is, Karen and I, like, I try to play the movie game with Karen and my wife, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. And I'll do a quote every once in a while. The only quote she really gets is Family Guy because I made her watch it at like 11 o'clock. It's like it was on constantly. And she's like, why? At first she was like, why do you have to watch this? You've seen this episode. I go, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No. Only the thing with Family Guy with me, like I can't watch like multiple in a row. You can't binge it. Because then you fall into the, you know, a little bit of setup, cutaway, a little bit of story, a little bit of setup, cutaway.
You see the formula and it's not fun anymore.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because like it needs to be a surprise. So I can't do more than like three at a time and then I have to stop.
I'm two. I'm tops.
Yeah.
And if like when they were on, I don't know if you remember, they were on Netflix. And I was watching like a whole season and I was like, after four episodes, I'm like, oh my God, it's so textbook. I don't want to watch it anymore. Cause it ruins it when you do it's like literally one of the only things you can't binge watch.
But what's like, great on Netflix,
like Rick and Morty, I could binge watch.
Oh yes. That's hilarious because there's so many layers to that. But with Family Guy, when it was on Netflix, like there are a couple of them where they just like drop the F-bomb and you're just like, yes, this is so funny to hear it. Like, you know, Peter just like, what the fuck are we doing now?
He just goes, fuck you. And you're like, oh my God. You feel like a 6-year-old boy. You're like, ooh, he said the F-bomb.
Yeah, I know. You know, Peter's on the couch doing crack and Brian's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, he goes, what the fuck? He goes, where'd you get crack? He goes, from Blacks? What? It's behind Blacks Hardware?
Yeah.
I got it from a white guy.
Right. It's a white guy.
I got it from a white guy and back of Blacks.
Blacks.
But I always like stuff like that. I always like lampooning, and I'm a comic, so I believe everything should be made fun of. I think everything is funny, or everything should be kind of laughed at and joked at. So
yeah, it should be, but you know, sometimes in this climate we're in, that's a little bit difficult.
Yes, I know. Speaking of that, Dave Chappelle.
I'll cut you.
Somebody on Facebook goes, what am I going to wear a helmet on stage now? It's wearing a helmet and pads. It's crazy. So not just the game show and stuff like that, but you were actually making movies and you've written some stuff too.
I've written a couple some plays. Stuff. I put a play on, which I'm kind of doing. There's a new twist to that. I wrote this thing called Teddy's Really, Really Late Show. And I put it on. It started out like initially when I did it back in 2013. Oh my God, that's a million years ago. Everything before the divorce is kind of a blur. So we did it as a almost like a dinner theater type of thing, and it worked out well. It was fun. It was funny. There was a lot of there's a part of it where the audience members can volunteer to be guests on this late night talk show. It takes place on the set of a late night talk show, so you can have people come up, and the host, the guy playing the host, has to then interact with, you know, a couple of people who are their guests. So now I'm looking at taking this and marketing it as like a fundraiser. So when people go to fundraisers, instead of just writing a check and eating bad, you know, hors d'oeuvres, they can watch a show. And then during the portion that is, you know, when the the talk show host is interviewing people, they would interview whoever's there to speak for the charity, ask some questions, get some information out that way. And it's a fun and funny show. I'm sort of, you know, tweaking that a little bit and trying to get some video elements to work in the background. So now that there's technology that you could have a wall of just, you know, a video screen. So I'm sort of doing that thing. And then I did the film school for kids a million years ago. So that was really cool and fun and hilarious. And so, yeah, I try to keep busy and apparently the universe keeps busy not paying me. So that's, that's great. It's good stuff.
Well, obviously. If I've had, this is my, I think 255th, 255. I've been doing the show almost 10 years. And I haven't made a fucking time.
Oh, good. I'm in the right place.
I've spent too much money.
This is a great place for me to plug all my stuff.
It's perfect. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Actually, that's not true. Because now that we're on Podbean, I have all these statistics of how many people are downloading and listening to the episodes. And there's a ton of people listening through Spotify and iHeartRadio.
I do a YouTube show called Ticket Stubs and Popcorn with my buddy out in San Diego. And it's been a little over a year. We're about 130 something episodes in. We do two episodes a week, and we'll take an actor and we'll talk about what we think of their three best, you know, things that they've done. And it's definitely a labor of love because we got back, it was last summer sometime, I got this email from some like podcast service in Australia. For a period of like 6 weeks, we were the fourth most popular arts and entertainment podcast in Australia.
No shit.
You know, baby steps, right?
Did they send you a plaque?
No, they just wanted
assholes.
They wanted me to pay them to promote us more. They're just like, you should know that you're starting to gain some ground. And if you give us money or whatever they use for money, then they could promote us.
Koala pelt. They use koala pelt.
Yeah. So bug repellent, I guess they would need, because everything's trying to kill you out there.
Shrimp. Yeah, everything's trying to kill you in Australia.
Yeah. So, but again, you got to do it. It's a labor of love. It's stuff that, you know, I love to do. And it all like, It all of it sort of comes together because it's all stuff I love to do. I love to put together stories. I love talking about movies. And that's the great movie challenge. And then the original movie game, the card game that we do. It's all about talking about movies and just taking your passion and running with it. And, you know, they always say, you know, go just do what you love and the money will follow you. So I'm going to stand still long enough for the money to catch up because I've been just moving too fast. That's what I think. I'm moving too fast for the money to catch me. That's it.
The money's not catching up. I don't understand.
Right. That's what it is. I'm too fast, which is ironic because I need another new hip, but whatever.
Since we're having fun, and I don't want to wait, I want to keep this going. Today is May the 4th.
May the 4th. I got my, hold on. I got my,
get your thing.
I got my, my Star Wars sneakers here. That were gifted to me by my dear friends on my 50th birthday.
Look at that.
Hang on to these. Look at that. Right? Yes. Wearing those all day.
So,
what is this, like a high school band playing this?
No, it's a MIDI, so I can't get sued. So Facebook will continue with the video.
Wow, that's smart.
Isn't it good? Actually, I have a game called Stuck in the MIDI with you when I play MIDIs, and people have to guess the song. So, but this is one of
this weird 8-bit version of Star Wars.
Actually, I was gonna project. Then I was gonna do a video. It was gonna look like Minecraft. It was all like blocky, 8-bit. I was like, everything's working right. So, because it is May the 4th. And my brother, who is an amazing, he knows a lot about Star Wars. Like, he's geeked out. He's actually working tonight because he was actually going to challenge you on this. But we have a few listeners.
Okay. Is this going to be like what company built the Millennium Falcon? Because I'm not that guy, you know?
I must obey my master.
It's exactly that.
Daddy? Is that daddy?
Daddy.
My space daddy.
There we go. So I have cultivated a bunch of stuff from the internet. And here's the thing. This is not mine, and I'm not going to claim credit for it. Because the guy, when I typed this in, the person who actually did this did not claim credit for it either. It's on a Pinterest thing. A Pinterest? Is that what they call it?
Pinterest, yeah.
Is it Pinterest?
Yeah, it's on the interwebs.
I'm not one of these hip kids on the Tic Tac. So, but the game we're going to play is called May the 4th. And before we play the actual game, I thought you'd get a kick of this because you're the movie guy. I like a lot of movies. Somebody decided to combine The Princess Bride and Star Wars quotes.
Really?
Yes, this is one of the funniest ones. Hello, my name is Luke Skywalker. You killed my father. Prepare to die. And I got to do it. This one I've got to do. I've got to do in the actual, see if I can mimic the actor as best I can. Never go against a Mandalorian when gas is on the line.
Wow. Wallace Shawn should sue you for that. Wow.
How about this one? Bye, boys. Have fun storming the Death Star. How about this one?
I like that, though, because you've got, like, the count with an extra finger, whereas in Star Wars, everyone gets their hand cut off.
Cut off. How about this one? It's funny. This is a very obscure line, but it's one of the funniest lines. And see if you know the actual line. Do you want me to send you back where I found you? Where you were? Unemployed? On Hoth?
That's when he's yelling at Andre the Giant. Unemployed? In Greenland?
Oh, this is funny, and I'll do it exactly like the actor. See if you got it. Hold on. I got to do it like this. Luke doesn't get eaten by the Rancor at this time. What? The Rancor doesn't get him. I'm explaining because you look a little nervous. These are great. I don't know who put this stuff together, but it's so funny. And this is one of my favorite ones. The Force is what brings us together today. It surrounds us and penetrates us. Oh. It binds galaxies together. I fucking love these. Wow. How funny are those?
Those are pretty good.
But I mean, you got to do it in that voice too. Otherwise,
yeah,
it's not as funny.
Yeah, it's got to be the voice or else it's not. Yeah, it doesn't work. And I'm glad that your throat could take it.
My throat can barely take it. But here's what I'm going to do. These are obscure notations. And I believe me, there's so much information about the Star Wars franchise. And, you know, unfortunately,
there's so much.
Disney owns it.
And I love what Disney's doing with it. It's so great. You don't look like you're happy with what Disney's
doing. No, I'm not happy. I wasn't happy with the last three films. To me, they weren't a true
thing. The TV stuff is great.
Yes.
And I think that keeping it that way is the better way to do it.
Right.
Because you can tell smaller stories about big things. Right. And I think it's fantastic.
The Mandalorian was really good. I thought the Book of Boba Fett was really good. Here's the thing. I never got into all the animated Star Wars stuff. But
really should, dude.
Now that it's on
really,
Disney,
it really
they've
does.
Interacted. They've like they're building the canon the right way. And I can appreciate.
What you need to do is watch like Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And there's an episode to it, like in the end of Clone Wars, like season 7, there's a point where Ahsoka and Anakin are sort of going their separate ways. You have to stop it there and then watch episode 3, because then you see everything that goes on. And then you go back to, you go back to Clone Wars and then watch everything that goes on with Ahsoka, because you see Order 66 happening to her.
Yeah, in like real time.
It really does. And I'll tell you, after watching Clone Wars and really seeing the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin, it adds so much
to the movies.
To when Anakin's falls, so that when Obi-Wan is yelling, "You were my brother, I loved you." I got to tell you, the last time I watched episode 3, I cried. It just hits so much harder.
Everybody's like, "Well, the prequels aren't as good as the original 3, and then of course the last 3 were garbage compared to the
other." What saddens me is, like, since it is so well known, in the prequels, compared to the original, you don't get any surprises.
Yeah.
It sort of answers a lot of questions, and it addresses things you heard about, the Clone Wars, blah, 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 all of that and how that started. But the whole, "No, I'm your father" line, that was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
And the only real surprise that you get in the later 3, and they're new enough that I really don't want to spoil, is the death of a character. And that surprised me. And every time I see it, I cry. So, but otherwise there's no,
Karen saw it. She was like, "No, that's not possible."
Right.
And I was like, "What did you say?" She goes,
"That's impossible.
That's impossible."
"That's unlikely."
"No."
but I was the same way. I'm like, no, they're fine.
She's like, no, he's okay. He made it.
He's fine. But no, but that's the thing. It's like, there are no surprises.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is the shame. And you get a little bit of that with the TV shows and the Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah.
You see some stuff that is surprising.
Well, when you see Ahsoka in the Mandalorian, I was like, "Holy shit." Because here's the thing. Yeah. I didn't realize that the Mandalorian took place when it did. It literally takes place after Jedi.
Yeah. It's like 5 years.
Yeah. It's very thing. And then they brought the black lightsaber in. They brought,
oh, that was huge.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
Was a big, oh my God.
Right.
Moment.
And the thing was, I was like, "Holy shit. Now I got to watch the Clone Wars, 'cause I have no idea what's going on." And yeah. Katie
Did
Sackhoff,
you watched Rebels.
Katie Sackhoff actually is the voice, and she came in.
I know.
And all the Mandalorian and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I think that stuff is really good. I think though, what's unfortunate is, like, they really should tell these stories under the umbrella of Star Wars, and then make, and then do a Boba Fett, miniseries type of thing. Because I think that Boba Fett, there was a real hype attached to it. Everybody was excited about it. And then there was some disappointment. There were some things
I
thought the space Vespas were a little much. Mm. I don't think that Robert Rodriguez was the right guy to be directing a Star Wars thing. He's a great director and I love his stuff. He's just the wrong guy for that.
Yeah.
Give Bryce Dallas Howard more Star Wars stuff to direct. She's incredible. But
for a second I blanked out. I thought you meant Kennedy. I'm like, oh.
Oh, no.
Let's not do that again.
Kathleen Kennedy, no. So, but yeah, I just think that, just call it all the Star Wars. And then, like, for this 6 weeks, we're gonna talk about Boba Fett. And this six weeks, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan. So, because I think that Book of Boba Fett puts way too much pressure on that show. And then the integrity of that show gets diminished when you bring in The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and Luke and Grogu, you bring them back. Oh. It's just the stuff you see online is just like, the show wasn't doing great, so they had to write them in. This stuff's been written like 2 years.
I know. It's all
3 years
it's all
ago,
from like
shot
yeah.
a year and a half ago. It's all done.
So here's some of the comments. Karen said, "Oh, the sneakers," bunch of exclamation points.
Yes.
She goes, "He didn't die. Nope, nope, nope." And then then above it is a bubble that says, no.
I get a lot of that too.
Because
a lot of messages.
Now, here's the weird thing. We are two older guys in our 50s, arguing Star Wars and canon, which is actually kind of fun. But I'm going to ask you some questions that you may not know.
All right.
Now, this is the easy part. These are either true or false.
Okay.
Let me get a little theme music going on here. Let's get a little theme music going. Okay. Now, I can do this. It's John Williams. So, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to see if you know the answers.
Okay.
The original Return of the Jedi ending saw Luke Skywalker turning evil. True or false?
I believe that's false. Like in the original script or something? Like an original idea? Is that what you're saying?
The original Return of the Jedi ending saw Luke Skywalker turning evil. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
It is not.
No.
It is true. Wow. In the early story meetings, writer-director George Lucas, which we all know, writer-director, stop it, considered it an ending for Return of the Jedi.
I'm a writer-director.
considered an ending for Return of the Jedi that was much, much darker. Luke takes his mask off, and the mask is the very last thing. And then Luke puts the mask on and says, "Now I am Vader."
And that's such a bullshit.
Yeah, he goes, "Now I will go and kill the rebel fleet and I will rule the universe."
Yeah, but that wasn't Luke.
I know. You know, but that was.
That was George being weird. And I'm glad throughout this whole entire thing that George Lucas has had some people go, no, George. Yeah. This needs to be lighter. He
keeps making different fucking things. How about this one? Samuel Jackson, who of course played Mace Windu, had his lightsaber engraved with a bad word on it. True or false?
True.
I must obey my master.
During an interview with the BBC Graham Norton show, Samuel Jackson insisted that he still owned the purple lightsaber and that his character, Mace Windu, claimed was engraved in his lightsaber, which of course is a Pulp Fiction reference, which is bad motherfucker.
Bad motherfucker.
Which is great. How about this one? Sir Alec Guinness loved Star Wars and playing the Obi-Wan Kenobi character.
Okay, so I saw an interview with him where he did speak fondly of being in it. Initially, he didn't think it was anything special, but he did develop a fondness for it. So I will say he did that he did end up being happy he was in.
Okay, so are you saying that he wasn't happy and then became happy?
Yes.
Impressive.
The great actor Sir Alec Baldwin was accustomed to performing Shakespeare.
Alec Guinness. I can't picture Alec Baldwin. What,
did I say Alec Baldwin?
You said Alec Baldwin.
He's like, it's a Star Wars. Alec Guinness.
Lightsabers are for closers.
You know what my name is? Fuck you. That's my name. What's this? The Force? You know what?
Jedi Master. Fuck
you. You know what first prize is? A land speeder. You know what second prize is? A set of steak knives. You know what third prize is?
Cut off your hands.
Uh-oh. You know who's going to sue us now?
Everybody.
No, it's
David Mamet.
David Mamet's going to sue us now.
He's local, man. Watch
he
out.
He is. So Alec Guinness was accustomed to performing Shakespeare before he signed on to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. And according to many accounts, he hated it. In a letter to friends, he complained that new rubbish dialogue reaches me every other day on wages of pink paper, and none of it makes my character clear or even bearable. He actually said it more like this.
Yeah, I wish I could just send you a link to the interview I did, because it was actually really nice.
But at first, this is
had to say. But at first, in episode 4, most of
all right. So you got let's see, you got.
I think I'm like two for two. I think. Have we done that many?
You got one right. You didn't get the Return of the Jedi ending, so that was true, and you said false. Mace Windu, you got true.
Bad motherfucker.
You got that one. That's true. So you got two. How about this one? Princess Leia strangling Jabba the Hutt was meant to mirror. What did I say? Princess Leia strangling Jabba the Hutt was meant to mirror the death of Luca Brasi in The Godfather.
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
Impressive.
Thank
George
you.
Lucas yes. was good friends with Francis Ford Coppola and worked on The Godfather. Bizarre.
Yeah. Right?
How about this one? Nobody ever said the word Ewok at any point in the movie Return of the Jedi. True or false?
True.
That is true, which is bizarre.
Impressive.
Not
because
once.
George Lucas said it's just Wookiee backwards. He didn't know what to call them.
That is such a George Lucas thing.
Yeah, it totally
is. It's like a Lucasism. You know, it's like it's all poetry. Karen wrote down Joy Luck Club. What the fuck is she? Joy Luck Club? I don't know what delay she's watching because that's not even close to what we're talking about here.
She's a
dog. All right, how about this one? A sitcom star almost played Princess Leia. True or false?
Ooh. I have no idea.
You get a 50-50 shot.
I will say, I mean, how many people probably auditioned for that? So, but I'm going to go false. I've never heard of anybody else up for her role. I've heard about others who were up for like Han Solo and stuff like that, but never heard of anyone else up for her. Was it, I don't know. I'm going to say false.
How certain are you?
Was it Joyce DeWitt?
No. No. That's not true. It is true that a sitcom star did audition to play Princess Leia in A New Hope. And I'll give you one guess. Think of when A New Hope was being filmed.
Right.
And think
Adrian Barbeau.
No. She would never make the cut for obvious reasons. I said sitcom star.
Yeah, I know.
But so yeah, you were thinking of Maude, yeah.
In the mid-70s, so that's why I thought it's so.
Okay, how about.
So they were probably auditioning in like 75 or so. Loretta Swit, no, she's too old.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hudson Benford Corporation.
Which one? Not Penny Marshall. Oh no, the other one.
Yes, it was Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams.
See, now it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, because he just like.
That's right. So
yeah, Wookiees, Ewoks. Cindy, I got your phone number in my book.
Yeah.
So come here.
Well, here's did you know that he didn't want Harrison Ford in it?
Yeah, he was just running lines with people.
Yeah.
Like during auditions, he was just there to run.
Yeah,
lines.
And he didn't want him in it because he didn't want to use anybody from American Graffiti.
Yeah,
which is so
Tom
fucked
Selleck,
up.
Tom Selleck, I think, was up for it.
Yeah. All right.
Picture
so
that.
So let's see. It's 10:03. Let's take our second break. Technically, our third break, but our second break because we didn't take a second break. I'm going to tabulate the scores, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Frank and find out. Oh, and by the way, go to greatmoviechallenge.com. Check that out, and then you can play directly against him. So we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to... Oh, let me try that again because I hit the wrong button.
Blame the intern.
I am going to blame the intern. You are listening to Radio Irregardless. We'll be right back.
Love food and wine? Get to know Salem, Mass. In a fun and delicious way. Join me on a Salem food tour. Our 5-star rated walking tour gives guests the perfect opportunity to enjoy an afternoon with friends or coworkers. Great for locals and visitors, our tours book in advance and can be crafted for your special event. For more information on our tours and to make reservations, please visit us at salemfoodtours.com.
Loyal listeners of Radio Irregardless, my name is Paul Kravitz. Yes, that Paul Kravitz. Mark, I would like to invite your listeners to watch my show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. right here on Facebook Live. If you like the show, perhaps you'll consider subscribing to the Paul Report on any of the following. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. That's the Paul Report, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. on Facebook Live.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia, and I was just touching up something here. What the fuck? Come on, man. Come on, man.
Nashville Frank.
I got a pocket full of Frank. So before we let you go, Frank, and again, check him out, greatmoviechallenge.com. You've done a really good job on the May the 4th trivia. Let's see. Return of the Jedi wrong. You got Samuel Jackson right. You got Alec Guinness right. You got Leah strangling Jabba right. You got nobody said the word Ewok right. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you got Princess Leia wrong. So I'll give it to you.
Give it to me. It's clear.
You know something?
What do you mean?
I was going to give you, I was going to give you something. What do you win? I'll tell you what. I usually play this one.
There you go.
I usually play this one because you did it. You won.
Get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But I should have played something. I don't know.
You win.
Don't everybody thank me at once.
Actually, I played this a long time ago. No, wait a minute. It's like, give me this one. It's the best. I fucking love it. I just scour the internet for like Star Wars songs. You must hear the original medley. The original medley is like the shit, but I can't play it. Yeah. I gotta like make it loud and then make it low. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that the Facebook robots.
Yeah, the fucking analog scumbags. Like, hey, I know it's not mine. I'm clearly saying it's not mine.
Right.
What the fuck? You can't just fucking shut me down, bitch. So
I don't think that John Williams would have a problem.
John Williams. He probably would. So before we let you go, I asked this of all my guests, and you're going to be a little different because you've done a lot of different things, acting and directing and writing and stuff like that. But if you would, please tell myself and my lovely listeners about your first time, your best time, and your worst time. Please speak in a professional way. I'm not talking about your first time and just in the business or something.
So show business.
Yes, right? Okay. In the show business.
Okay. All right. So, fine. The first time I was on stage, it was when I was in the second grade. We did Alice in Wonderland. I was a starfish, and the paint from the cardboard cutout of a starfish got on my fingers, which then got in my eyes. So my first stage presence was me crying like golden, and it was like on all of my face. So it was pretty dead. That was the worst. No, that was the first.
That was the first.
It wasn't quite the worst. The worst was when I was in a play. It was Actor's Nightmare, and I had to do a bit of a monologue, and I just cannot remember. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I literally stood there as I forgot where I was.
So wait a minute. The name of the play was Actor's Nightmare?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so I was living the Actor's Nightmare. So it kind of worked, but I was just like totally panicking.
Method.
And because I couldn't remember what I was supposed to say. So I stood there for what seemed like forever. Yeah. And then I just went to like the last line so that I could get off the stage and give the next person their cue so that I could get the hell out of it. It was terrible. It was the worst. The best though was not even me acting, but it was directing. When I did Teddy's Really, Really Late Show, there's a bit between two actors, and it's a very like rapid fire kind of, you know, His Girl Friday kind of exchange between these two characters. And like in rehearsals, I was always like, faster, it's got to be faster. You can stomp all over his line. Faster, faster, faster. No, it's got to be faster. And they started it was working, and it was working in rehearsals. And then night of the show, of course, you panic, and they hit it beautifully. And there's nothing better than writing something that you feel is really, really good, and it's in your head, and being able to articulate how that's supposed to sound, and then it actually working. So hearing it the way it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be done, that's the best. That's the best thing, because you created this thing out of just your brain. And it's like, oh my God, there it is. And people laughed when they were supposed to, and it was awesome. So that I think that'd probably be the best.
See, this is why I always, now these are great stories, but I always like to hear the first time, the best time, and the worst time, because the worst time, like you, you just gobbling up all the lines and going, and just going right to the end. That's funny, but now I got to go, oh, good for you.
No, you didn't. No, it was, I should not have done it. I'm not an actor. When we were putting on that Teddy's Really, Really Late Show, and I was, I did it once as a stage reading, and I couldn't find anyone to do it. The one who did it for the time in 2013, this guy, Gio, I can never say his last name, but he's a Salem guy. Anyway.
Giovanni. You know, Giovanni Abeliso.
He's got a beard. Yes. Yes, he was amazing. He's such a fabulous jock. He's so great, right? But when I did it as a stage reading, my buddy Peter, the one I do the Ticket Stubs and Popcorn show with, another shameless plug, but before he would agree to do it, it was like, maybe I'll do it. And then our good friend Scott Winters, rest his soul, great guy, he gave me advice. He said, Frank, you either act in it or direct it. He goes, you're too new at both to do both. So he goes, pick one and do that. And then take the extra time. And it was great advice. He was totally right.
I wish somebody told me that I did my film. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I did my film. I've directed some other things. But acting, I didn't want to direct. I mean, I didn't want to act in it. I just wanted to direct it. But I couldn't find somebody to do the role the way that, like, and I cast. And I went through things. And I was like, the guy, he's really good at comedy, or he's really good at drama. But they weren't good at both. So it was, but yeah.
Well, it was tough. It was tough because I needed someone who could do the comedy. And then in the part of the show where like we had little, you know, questionnaire cards on the tables for people who might be interested in being a guest. And if they were a guest, you know, they got a t-shirt. So we had, you know, Giovanni go through the cards like, okay, I'll take these three people. So then he's got to improv that whole thing.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know, maintain that balance between like, okay, let's make this fun and funny and don't insult anybody, and then get back into all character, the scripted stuff. Like I could do the improv stuff. I would be able to do that fine. But remembering lines, even though they're lines I wrote, if I could do that, I would love to play this guy. He's awesome, you know, and he's funny. He gets to say a lot of really fun stuff, but I can't remember lines because I'm stupid.
And you wrote, and you're not that stupid, but you, but you wrote something else. What did you, what was the play that you wrote? It's actually, you sent it to all of us and a lot of friends.
The screenplay, it's called Tim, Andy, Lane. That's a little romantic comedy that has been around for a million years. And that's been around so long. I had to go back and insert social media, because when I started writing, when I wrote it initially, there was no such thing as social media. That's how long this thing's been around.
That's
so but yeah, it's that's another really fun piece. So I wrote that because I had seen the movie Green Card, and it was like that Andy McDowell, Gerard Depardieu vehicle, and I hated it. It was so bad, and I literally, anybody would stand still long enough to let me complain about it too, I would tell them it was obnoxious. Yeah. It was blatantly left open for a sequel, blah, blah, blah. And then my friends got together and said, look, when you can write a better love story, you can complain about this movie. So until then, shut up. So he's like, fine, I'll write a romantic comedy. I don't give a shit. I'll do it. Fuck you,
fucking
guys.
Green Card. I didn't. I've never seen that movie. I was not a big Gerard Depardieu or.
No, and I was in love with Andie MacDowell. I dated a woman for a while that looked, who had like the hair and like look.
There was some about her that just, I don't know.
Right?
No, that, no.
No?
No.
Oh, man.
She's not thing was Holly Hunter. People were like, Holly Hunter? I'm like, yeah, Holly Hunter.
Okay. So, you know, the world's a rainbow, man. Everybody has their own thing.
And let's,
you know, Holly Hunter's great if she's, you know, giving you your library card.
Stop it. But let's do this. Let's end on a good note. Let's end before we start insulting people and we start to get phone calls. I would love phone calls, by the way. But Frank, I want to thank you for being part of the show. Absolutely amazing. Great catching up with you. I'm very happy that you're back on the East Coast. You're a little closer, and maybe we can get together over the summer. We'll get together.
Yeah,
maybe we'll come down there, or you'll come up here. We'll do something else. But it's great seeing you again, and all our family and our quote unquote family will be listening to all this.
So. I miss everybody. So this has been really fun. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks you, man. And have a great night, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Hauser. Such a good guy. So funny. Just and knows quite a bit about a lot, and just really good to have him on the show. So let me wrap the show. Let me tell you what I got going on this weekend. Tomorrow night, which is Thursday, I will be at the Old Salt Restaurant up in Hampton, New Hampshire. Friday, I will be doing a private fundraiser for the Lions up in North Conway. And then Saturday night, it's a big New Hampshire weekend. And then this Saturday, I'll be headlining at Headliners Comedy Club in Manchester, New Hampshire. As always, folks, if you want to be a guest or a sponsor, you want to leave a comment or question, anything like that, please reach out, email that show at radioirregardless@gmail.com. You can also call the hotline 978-219-9294. Why is this going back and forth? I don't know. Phasing in and out. I'll fix that in post. So next 2 weeks, May 18th, my guest will be Gina DiMaggio. Join us then.
This has been Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. Your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoying. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia and broadcast and recorded live. We'd like to thank the on-air guest and all of our listeners. The Radio Irregardless theme, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All music and audio clips used are property of their respective copyright owners. All material is the property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2022, all rights reserved. Listen to previous episodes of Radio Irregardless by downloading from iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts can be found. And thank you for listening.
Hello.